Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Luke 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. At Forest Lawn Cemetery, there is a painting of the crucifixion scene that is very realistic. You can sit and look at it and almost imagine being present outside of Jerusalem at that event. The hill of Calvary, also called Golgotha, is called the place of the skull, Matthew 15, verse 22. And some have surmised that this identification was given because this was the place of crucifixion. Others have thought it was because the hill appears from a distance like a crown of a human skull. However about that, it was at this place that God's Son was crucified alongside two transgressors. Matthew 15:27 and 28, and with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Now, while we usually fix our attention on just one cross, in this brief study, let us consider all three crosses. Each had a certain significance about it. On the one side was the cross of the one of the thieves, and this man was dying in sin. His death, right to the last, was a cross of rebellion. Even as he died, he scoffed at Jesus. Luke 23:39 has him saying, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. More tragic than the physical anguish he suffered was his hatred and contempt cast toward the one on the center cross. And we wonder why. What had Jesus ever done to him or anyone else that would arouse such feelings within this man? Without reason, except his own hopelessness and frustrations, he showers Jesus with enmity and scorn. But do not many also do that today? This thief typifies the illogical and the unreasonable, in fact the nonsensical unbelief and hatred that many in this world have toward Jesus the Christ. In spite of his perfect life and all the good that he did, the hope he offers, the love he manifests, many hate Christ. The reason they hate him is because Christ condemned a sin and they love their sins. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. John 3:19 through 21. Consider this statement of the thief once again. If thou be Christ. Had there ever been any real doubt about that? Has not there been abundant and manifold evidence proving that truth? There is no if about the identity of Christ. But in these words we see the doubt and the skepticism of unbelief and an attempt to deny the claim of Christ even as they were hanging on the crosses. He challenges Jesus, save thyself and us. Now his attitude is, even though I disbelieve you and I scorn you, do something good for me. What impotence! Why call upon Jesus for favor while railing against him at the same time? How like many people today who encounter hardships in life, who really care nothing for God, but they lash out against God because of their own adversities and blame it on God. They act as if God owed them everything and they owed God nothing. They are a take and no give type of person. How many souls have perished on this cross of rebellion from that day until this? How many still lose all, having the same attitudes toward Jesus as this one that was in sin, dying on the cross of rebellion? But consider now the other thief on the other cross. how different he was from the first one. One was dying in sin, but the second thief was dying to sin, separating himself from his sin. One was dying on a cross of rebellion, but the other was dying on a cross of repentance. At first, it appears he may have joined the railing against Christ. He also wanted deliverance, but when he spoke, he did so not to scoff, but to worship and to plead. He first directed his words to the other thief, but the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." Luke 23:40-41. There is unmistakable respect and reverence in his heart as he stands before God, hanging there on the cross, facing his death. And while he admits his sinfulness, he recognizes the innocence of Jesus. Few statements are as comprehensive concerning the life of Christ as the one here made by the thief. "He hath done nothing amiss." Jesus lived a perfect life. He never sinned. This was one of the evidences of his deity and the truthfulness of his claim. Then he turned to speak to Christ, and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Luke 23:42-43. His was a humble petition to one whom he considered as the Lord. He looked upon Jesus as one who would have his kingdom. The situation implies that he knew the kingdom of Christ was a spiritual one rather than an earthly one, because Jesus was also on the cross. An earthly kingdom from him was not likely under those conditions. Only a spiritual kingdom was in his thoughts. At least, it seems that way. Possibly he did not yet understand how Jesus was going to establish a kingdom. He may still have entertained certain ambitions of a physical kingdom even as Jesus was dying, but not likely. He possibly knew that this was going to be a spiritual kingdom. At least, Jesus knew that for which he was asking, and he granted unto him spiritual benefits. He answered in the way to satisfy his plea. The thief's approach and attitude of heart was such that Jesus responded, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What a difference in the thieves! One saw Jesus as a dying impostor. The other saw him as Lord. One considered him a pretender. The other saw him as a king. One saw Jesus as a sinner dying for his deeds. The other saw him as one dying for the sins of others. One was dying in sin. The other was dying to sin. One was a cross of rebellion. The other was a cross of repentance. We now focus our attention on the third and the middle cross on which the Son of God was hanging. His was not a cross of rebellion. His was not a cross of repentance. His was a cross of redemption. He was not dying in sin. He was not dying to sin. He was dying for sin. Hebrews 9:12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." In 1 Peter 1:18-19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Titus 2:14 says that he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." In Romans 8:3, For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. In Romans 15 and verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. In Hebrews 2 and verse 9, he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. In 1 John 2 and verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for he that made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friend, it is quite evident, the death of Christ on the cross was a vicarious death, the just dying for the unjust, one instead of the other. He was not merely a martyr for a cause, as some would degrade him, but he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29. He is our Passover, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Peter wrote, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. The thieves died because of their own sins. Christ died for my sins and yours, and those of all mankind. God could deal with us and our sinfulness either through mercy or through justice. If he dealt with us in justice, without mercy, we would have to suffer for our sins. If he dealt with us in mercy without justice, how could he be called a just God? Justice does not allow good and evil to be treated alike. But God did deal with us in justice and mercy, because justice and mercy met at the cross of Christ. In Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, notice this phrase, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ. Yes, justice was met by the penalty paid by Christ. Mercy was extended by the merit of his blood to sinful mankind, and man is given the opportunity to be free from the wages of sin. Dear friend, let us magnify the glorious Christ, who was the only perfect one. Only he could die for the sins of others, because he was without spot and without blemish. Any other would necessarily have to die for his own sins, but none can even do that, because the death of no man is adequate penalty for the sin against God. The Father appointed his Son, Jesus Christ, as the way of salvation, and there is no other. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name among men given unto heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. John 14:6. We point to you these three crosses here on Golgotha. One cross is a cross of rebellion, another of repentance, but the third is that of redemption. As we look at the middle cross, we can sing, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. And again, there was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And of our sins, therefore, we can sing, they are nailed to the cross. Jesus went to the cross, and he carried my sins with him there. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.